Let's go on to the final chapter of the unit. And this final chapter of the unit is all about the specialness of carbon. We just got through a chapter that's about the specialness of water. And by the way, water is so special, so fundamental to life, that when we do look for extraterrestrial life, which we're continuously doing, it really amounts to looking out in space and seeing whether there's any water there. Because if there's not water, move on, look somewhere else. Water is required. But carbon is really important as well. And that's the focus of this chapter. Now, the opening slide here gives you a cartoon of the experimental apparatus in a famous experiment that was conducted originally in the 1950s and had very good results, but it's been reconducted since then with even better results. And if you want to look it up and find more about it, you don't have to, but it's called the Miller-Urey experiment. And this experiment was conducted to test whether the raw materials for the first cells could have been produced easily in the conditions of early Earth. This brings back this notion of cell theory, right? We've already discussed the fact that cell theory tells us that cells come only from pre-existing cells. And that's been true for a long time. But obviously, there was a time, the original cells, where cells came from things that weren't cells. They came from simpler ingredients of cells. Well, even those first cells had to have the same stuff that modern cells have in terms of molecules. And that means not only simple molecules like water and stuff, but complex molecules, the macromolecules that I've already listed the four types of, but that we haven't studied yet, and we will right after the first test. Do you remember what those four are, by the way? Which ones? Not nucleotides. Nucleic acids is one. Polypeptides. What's the third? Polysaccharides. And lipids, yes. All cells need these things. And these large complex molecules did not exist on early Earth, as far as we know. And remember, we're talking about the ocean. That's where stuff started, as I said before. Not on land. There's no life on land for billions of years after this. But we're pretty sure of the basic contents of the oceans in early Earth. And it was a hot as hell place back then, which is why that first geologic eon of Earth's history is called the Hadean Eon, meaning hellish. So it's quite different. So they set this up to mimic the early Earth's conditions. This is not pure water. It's what we're pretty sure were the contents of the ocean, very simple molecules. And it's being heated because it was so hot then. That, of course, causes some evaporation, creating an atmosphere. That's what this other bulb represents. And the atmosphere bulb, notice, is equipped with electrodes that can be sparked now and then to mimic the lightning that was happening then, much more than it's happening now, but it wouldn't even have to, because before the first cells, there was 800 million years of Earth history. So when you have 800 million years to wait, there's a lot of lightning that can happen, even if it's not all that frequent. But anyway, they spark it now and then. And every once in a while, they take a sample of what rains to see whether any chemical reactions have turned these simple molecules that we know were in the ocean into more complex molecules that are the building blocks of proteins. Now, that's not the only kind of molecules that are necessary, but that's what they tested for. Proteins, or polypeptides, are big molecules that are made out of smaller subunits called amino acids. And what they're testing for here are is the presence of amino acids. All organisms that have ever existed use the same set of 20 amino acids, and we'll talk about that later. Well, what they found is only running this for a couple weeks was enough to not only get amino acids, but to get more than the 20 that all organisms use. And so over 800 million years, you have a gradual accumulation of a bunch of these non-living, more complex molecules. Amino acids is just one kind of them, other things as well for the other kinds of macromolecules. And eventually, when they got to high enough concentrations, the first cells were able to form. Now, that does not say, this does not prove that this is the only way it happened. These large molecules could also have been brought by objects colliding with Earth from outside of Earth. But they can both have happened. They can both be true, actually. The point is, it shows you that the conditions as we know it were enough for the complexity of cells to come into existence. But the molecules I've been talking about, these macromolecules, these four kinds, not only are they large molecules, which is why they're called macromolecules, but more specifically, they are organic macromolecules. And that's an important word in this chapter because I said this is about carbon. And the word organic in science has a completely different definition compared to the word organic in a grocery store. In science, organic means containing carbon, but that's not enough. It doesn't go far enough. It is true that all organic materials contain carbon, but there are some carbon-containing materials that are not considered to be organic. For instance, pure carbon, which probably a lot of you are using. You know, we call it lead. It's no longer lead that we use in pencils. It's graphite, which is pure carbon. And it comes off in nice little sheets that leave a trail behind on your paper, which is why it works as a pencil. But it's nothing but carbon atoms. So it's certainly carbon-containing, but graphite is not considered organic. So you have to have carbon, but you have to have other things along with carbon. Diamond is another example. It's also nothing but carbon atoms. Now, obviously, they're arranged a little bit differently compared to graphite, which is why there's a price difference. But it's still pure carbon and therefore non-organic. And there's a small number of exceptions of compounds, meaning carbon with other stuff, that aren't considered, for various reasons, organic. And there's one important to this class, which we'll get more into later. That's carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is not organic either. But almost all other things, all other compounds, meaning carbon with something other than carbon, are organic. That's the definition in science. And that's why we say we're carbon-based life. All four of those macromolecules are organic. In other words, polypeptides contain carbon, nucleic acids do, polysaccharides do, and lipids do. So you can't have any of those, and no organism can exist without any of them, so that's why we're carbon-based life. Now, the reason that we used that word originally, organic, how it got into the, why it was coined, is because of a mistake we made throughout most of scientific history. It wasn't until fairly recently, that we realized we were wrong about this. We thought for a long time that the stuff that organisms are made out of is chemically somehow different compared to the stuff that non-living things are made out of. And the reason we were led to believe that is because We thought it was impossible, since people were trying and no one was succeeding, we thought it was impossible to make molecules, organic molecules, molecules that are in organisms, out of molecules from non-living stuff. Well, now it's really routine. It's no problem to do that at all. We can easily make organic molecules out of inorganic molecules. But it took us a while before we did that, and that's why molecules that contain carbon, which are all the most of the molecules that organisms are made up of, were called organic. It comes from the same reason that we call organisms organisms. All right? And by the way, chemistry is an immensely huge science. And it's cut into two big sciences themselves. Each of the subsets is itself a big science. But overall, chemistry is divided into inorganic chemistry and organic chemistry. Each of those is still huge. And what happens in a cell, which is what we're studying this whole term, is really just a little bit of organic chemistry. Okay, but this figure shows you that the rudiments of cells came into existence just for purely ordinary chemical reasons. Now, I can tell you about slide 2, but that's about as far as we're going to be able to get. In slide 2, we have just a few examples of organic compounds, methane, ethane, and ethene, the three compounds here. And by the way, notice that if something's organic, it has to be a compound, right? Because I just told you, if it's pure carbon, it's not organic. And a compound is two or more atoms. Well, every organic compound has carbon, of course, but it also has something else. And the simplest possibility is for that something else to be hydrogen. I say simplest because hydrogens are the most prevalent and the simplest atom. So these are not only organic compounds, these three examples, but also when you look at their ball and stick models, notice they're made up of only carbon and hydrogen, nothing else. So more specifically than saying that they are organic compounds, you can say that they are hydrocarbons. A name that tells you they're made up of only hydrogen and carbon. No third or fourth or any other atom, just those two. It doesn't matter how many of each there are, as long as it's only carbon and hydrogen, you have a hydrocarbon. And later we'll be talking about things that I'm sure you're familiar with the name of, that I just don't want you to be confused with, which is carbohydrates. Carbohydrates, a similar word, but carbohydrates have carbon and hydrogen in them, but also oxygen, so they are not hydrocarbons. These are all hydrocarbons, and even though the hydrocarbons are just one part of overall organic compounds, there's really no limit to the number of hydrocarbons that you can create, because these are really small ones. They can get enormous as long as you're only using carbon and hydrogen. And they make excellent fuels, for one thing. Well, there's going to be ways that we're going to classify these things, these hydrocarbons, but I'll save that till next time.